long time ago, when Israel was wandering through the wilderness, Amalek attacked them. And it was only by the power of God that Israel was able to win that battle. And after it was all over, the Lord swore that judgment would eventually fall upon Amalek. He says very clearly in Exodus 17, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And there was two reasons for this judgment. First reason was because of the sin of Amalek. God was using his people as a way of punishing them for the things that they had done, bringing judgment upon them already in this life. And the second reason was because Amalek had attacked Israel. And God remembers all the things that his people suffer, and God repays them. He sees that their enemies are given what they deserve, and he gives justice to his own. And so for these reasons, God promised that judgment would fall upon Amalek one day. But now, in our Old Testament reading, a few centuries later, God was bringing that promised judgment. He spoke through the prophet Samuel and told King Saul to go to Amalek and to leave nothing alive. Amalek's guilt had come to its full measure, and the appointed time for their judgment had come. So God's command was clear: go and strike everything down. But Saul did not listen to the Lord. Yes, it's true, he did go to Amalek, just as God said. And yes, it's true that he destroyed most of Amalek, just as God had said. But he had not struck everything down. Saul took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, prisoner, rather than putting him to death. And Saul thought it was such a pity that the best of the cattle of Amalek should perish. And so he spared the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the best of the goats. Anything that looked good to his eyes, he captured and kept alive rather than destroying them as he was supposed to do, contrary to the command of God. But worst of all, Christians, Saul still thought he was doing the right thing. Saul still thought that he was serving the Lord by doing this. He thought that he was doing what God wanted him to do all along, even as he violated the words of what God had said. In fact, when Samuel confronted him about this, Saul still insisted that all of this had been done for God. Verse 15, he says, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." All of these cattle that are still living, well, they're for God. We're going to give them to the Lord. We're going to sacrifice them to him. So surely I have done the right thing. Surely I have kept the word of the Lord. Now, Christians, before we start throwing stones at Saul, let us examine our own hearts. And let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. Because how often have we also been tempted to take a good enough attitude towards the things of God? How often are we tempted to make excuses, to say that I have done what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, even if I'm not actually listening to him? God says that we should gather together for church. But, oh, I did that last week. Surely that's good enough. God tells us that we should spend time in His Word. Oh, I did that recently. Surely that's good enough. God tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. I'll only do that when they forgive me first. Surely that's good enough. Good enough for me to only love those who love me, even though God tells me to love my enemies. Good enough for me to pray only in church when I gather together with other Christians, even though God tells me to pray without ceasing. Christians, beware a good enough attitude. Good enough is not the same as listening to God. Good enough is not the same as doing what He commands. And Samuel shows Saul how he has not listened to God. God told you to destroy everything, Samuel said, and yet the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen proves that that's simply not true. You have not done what God wanted you to do. Saul can't wriggle out of this. He can't deny the truth of what Samuel has said. He has sinned before the Lord. And perhaps at this time, God was giving an opportunity to Saul. Maybe He was giving him an opportunity to recognize his sin and to turn back from it, to confess that sin, to repent of it, and then to do what he was always supposed to do. God was giving him another chance. Because God is a merciful God, Christians. God is a God who will do away with judgment if someone repents of their sins. I mean, just think of Jonah and the city of Nineveh. God told Nineveh, 40 days and you will be destroyed, with no promise or hope of ever being delivered. And yet when Nineveh repented, God relented and did not do the disaster he said he was going to do. Because God is a merciful God. But Saul does not repent. In fact, he just doubles down. I have done what God told me to do, he says, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. I had no choice, he says. I did what God wanted me to do, but the people are the one who forced me to do otherwise. If you want to blame anyone, blame them. I have done what is right. Christians, we also need to beware the temptation to make excuses, especially the excuse that we had no choice in the matter, that things could not have gone any other way. I have no time for church. I have too many things to do. I'll just get to it later. I have no time to pray. I'm very, very busy. So again, I'll do it later. Yes, I sinned. I did what was wrong, but I was pressured into doing it. Other people forced me along. I just went along with the crowd. I have a physical disorder in my body. I had no choice but to do it. It just sort of happened. So you can't hold me guilty for the things that I have done. And I was just born this way. So it's not sin, and you can't say that it is. Christians, excuses are dangerous. Let us not hide behind them as Saul tried to do, but rather let us turn to the living God who delights to show us mercy in Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, it is true at this point that Saul does seem to confess his sins. He says, starting in verse 24, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may bow before the Lord." Seems clear enough. Seems like he's sorry for what he has done. And yet, he's still rejected. Why? Isn't this what God wanted him to do? Didn't God want him to repent of his sins, to turn away from them, and to turn back towards him? Why then is he still rejected from being king? Why does Samuel still turn away? Well, it's because Samuel knows, Christians, that Saul is not being sincere when he says these things. He's not actually sorry for what he has done. Saul is upset that God is taking the kingship away from him. And he says that he's sorry about these things in the hope that God will give it back to him, that God will still let him be king, and that his house will continue for many generations. Like Cain long ago, Saul is upset about the punishment and not actually sorry for the things that he has done. Christians, may we not be insincere when we confess our sins to God. May we be sorry and not just say these things, say that we are sorry. May we ask for forgiveness and mean it, rather than asking forgiveness with no real intention to change anything at all. Because God does not delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. God takes no joy in just going through the motions. God has no pleasure in just saying words because that's what we're supposed to say. God takes pleasure in those who listen to him. God rejoices over every sinner who repents. God delights in the one who calls on the name of Jesus Christ in true faith that they may be saved. As Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." It is those who turn towards Jesus who are given a new heart, a heart which listens to what God says, a heart which desires to do his will, a heart which follows after him in all things. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christians, we are made into a new creation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we grow in faith each and every day, learning more and more what it means to listen to the Lord in all things. So then, let us seek after God. Let us do what he says. Let us not make excuses, because he has made you to be his holy people through the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, the Almighty, who delights in those who turn toward you, help us to walk in the way that you would have us go, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may do what is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.